Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Supported by The Gelderland, the number one Leeds United memorabilia site. Visit thegelderland.com. The Square Ball Podcast.
Like some sort of broadcasting tidal wave, we are back for part two of podcast 61. It's the Square Ball Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our retrospective, part one of this two-parter that we recorded yesterday. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to that first. It will make more sense. We spent a lot of time actually listening back to it. Not pleasant listening for the Warnock family, really.
Paddy Kenny was very upset, as was Brownie.
We went quite heavy on Warnock. I mean, is there more that we can possibly...
Last night was before we'd seen the extracts from his book.
It's like he's given us this as a gift.
Yeah. Once a day, he's like, oh, I'll do a little something for the Square Ball lads. They all love me up there.
You can't fault the lads.
No. You can't fault their effort.
Warnock, the that keeps giving. Lovely.
When is his book signing? Saturday lunchtime?
Yeah, he's on at Meadow Hall in Sheffield doing a book signing in Waterstones.
So. I thought he was coming to Leeds this weekend as well.
Is he?
I think there is talk that he is actually... has
well that makes a change, doesn't it?
Even I'm pretty sure that even David O'Leary never had the gall to try and organise a book signing in Leeds. Oh, they love me there. I never go anywhere near the place, but they love me there. Whereas I'm expecting a great reception.
Well, anyway, the reason we talk about Warnock is because
we hate him.
In this podcast, yesterday was a bit of a retrospective. Part one was a retrospective. This is part two. We're now going to try and look forward and examine things going forward into next season. And the future is Brian McDermott. We spoke a little bit about him yesterday. So he's already identifying players that he seems to want to bring in. If the internet is to be believed, we're looking at the likes of Matt Mills, Noel Hunt. Your thoughts on those then?
He's not yet distinguished himself from previous managers in looking at players he'd like to bring in. They've all done that. Well, it's bringing them in will be the next thing. But Matt Mills, yeah, he's been terrible for the last couple of seasons. Tall, very expensive. Noel Hunt, his name rhymes with a popular nickname for Neil Warnock. So it's like we won't even have to change the vocabulary too much. So I think it's good. He's blending things forward, but not getting my expectations up too high because I still have that lingering. I won't say the name of his predecessor, but it's still lingering.
I've spoken to a couple of Bolton fans who say Mills. Well, from the description, it sounds very much like Mikulić in that he's a very tall man who doesn't jump and doesn't really win any headers.
I miss Mikulić.
Is it Carlisle still?
I don't know what happened to him. I noticed Matt Heath got let go by
still do a job.
The club down south. I think he might have won Player of the Year and they let him go.
You can tell we haven't podcasted for a while because on the last one we did talk about Mikulić.
What did we say about him?
He is in Kazakhstan, I believe.
Oh, God, of course.
Or is it Azerbaijan, one of the two?
It's somewhere where they can probably pronounce his name.
Yeah, so I'm not completely sure about him. A couple of years ago, I would have said looked like a great signing.
Well, it was that
not £5 million.
Well, no, oh Christ, no.
Well, that was it. It was the £5 million to Leicester, and I think there was some kind of that caused waves when everyone was like, kind of, whoa, that £5 million for like a decent player at this level. That's going to make things difficult. And then everyone realised it was actually just Leicester going absolutely crazy and spending a ridiculous amount of money. They probably just could have got Mikulić.
The Sven effect.
And then he had a fallout with Pearson, which Pearson says has to do with quite a lot of his players.
Yes.
You get a sense, though, that McDermott's a bit different from that. He's quite cuddly and together and oneness.
They'll snog it out.
Unity. And
I think a lot of it's probably lazy paper talk, because you get this every summer where ex-manager looks at old players and you wonder how much of it is actually there's any truth. And it's just like at the moment you see every decent Everton player being linked with Scum and you see every good Wigan player being linked with Everton, and it's just... what papers do.
And Ian Hart being linked with Leeds.
I do quite like the way the Noel Hunt one's being talked about, because it's basically been talked about as a done deal, because they weren't just manager and player, they were friends. And this summer, in a couple of weeks, Brian McDermott is going to Noel Hunt's wedding in Ireland. And the way all the papers are talking is he's going with a contract and they'll sort it out. It's like, have you signed the marriage register? Right, well, if you could sign with Leeds United as well. And it'd be like, yeah, what? Looking back on that glorious day, what was the best part of your wedding, Noel? Is it, well, actually, the contract with Leeds. Sorry,
he's not
love.
McDermott's brownie, is he?
There is a certain element of, with that looking back, where it's like, oh, he's bringing in, because Clint Hill would be, he's even going on about, we're back to Warnock again, but he was saying something like, oh, even Barcelona would need a Clint Hill. He was saying that on the radio, and he would have loved to have Clint Hill at Leeds, but no chance. And then Matt Mills is kind of, he's coming because he worked really well. Brian McDermott got the best out of him and he's not done well since. And then Noel Hunt's his mate who can play, you know, he's getting on a little bit, but he'll give his all for Macca. And then the other ones, who else have we been linked with? Ian Hart, they've all kind of said that's not going to happen. But yeah, there is an element of that. But like you say, it's just sort of journalists trying to kick up some noise.
And I think someone like Mills, there will be a fee involved. Which, given the,
possibly £1 million.
Yeah, which, given the way our finances probably are, we don't know. No one really knows.
No one's
the way
to
things
say.
Appear.
Yeah,
we seem quite poor still. So I think maybe Noel Hunt is more likely than Matt Mills.
Because he's free and owes him a favour.
Yeah, because depending on the quality of toaster, McDermott buys him. Oh, I got him a raclette.
I don't even know what a raclette is.
It's a thing that melts cheese.
A what?
Isn't that just like? Isn't that a lighter? As long as you take the plastic off. Off the cheese, I mean. You could almost argue after the stellar end to the season that we had, where we won two and, well, we'll forget about it. Oh, no, we won three. I failed to count Watford as a win because it seemed so strange and it didn't really seem... So we won two, lost two and played Watford.
It was more like a big practical joke.
Yes. Because the difference between Derby at home and then Sheffield Wednesday at home was night and day. And then Burnley was just like watching a completely different team. It's bizarre because there obviously wasn't time for McDermott to come in and read all his tactical knowledge through and go through his UEFA coaching licenses coursework and show them what's what. But just by managing to say, you midfielders who aren't particularly quick and can't cross, how about instead of playing down the wing, we all play in the middle and you pass it about a bit, and suddenly we had a team. And so,
and little things as well, like saying to Paddy Kenny, there's the people who are stood near to you. If you try and give the ball to them, it's more likely to go to them. Right. Yes. If you try and hit Luke Varney on the head from 80 yards away.
And they could then in turn do what you've just done and try and give it to someone else who plays on our team, who's close to them.
Yeah, they'd be nearer.
And keep doing that until you get to the other end of the pitch and then maybe put it in the net.
Who would he say that to? Varney, I suppose.
Yeah, this is where the plan falls down, isn't it?
But at least we're getting it nearer. We're getting nearer the goal with the ball. And that's 9/10 of footballers, I believe.
As the old saying goes.
Yes. But he did. And it's kind of rough that he came in at the end of the season and gave us a look at what we could have next season. Because then he now has got this kind of summer of us kind of fading memories and getting increasingly cynical as the signings don't come in and blah blah. So his kind of early wave of optimism has dimmed a little bit, because I've already seen when he did an interview this week about getting in targets that he's looking for, a few reactions to that. Like, oh, same old, we've heard all this before. It's like I was saying, you know, he's looked at some players, not signed any players yet, and starting to get a little bit antsy like that. Whereas, you know, so that initial kind of new manager bump as kind of that's been pissed up the wall now, so he's going to have to actually hit Slovenia pretty hard.
Is it not a case that nature abhors a vacuum, so it's being filled with panic and worry based on the last 8 years or so under Bates?
Yeah, and I think we are still... Well, it's difficult to tell whether it's that or whether it is, because you do look around other clubs in the Championship and other clubs are yet again already doing stuff, while we do seem to be just... We release some training wear. exciting. The website's down, but you can get to the shop. Shop's down, but you can get to the online catalogue. Just
yeah, you can look at some pictures.
Yeah, just fill in a mail order form. So that stuff's going on, but other teams are signing players for money again, and it does seem like our recurring curse that every summer we watch other teams signing players for money, and we think, nope, stay calm, don't worry, we're bound to get into the we'll get in the action soon. We're going to get involved. It's biding our time. Don't want to spend too early.
On the plus side, at the end of last year, he did get performances out of those same crap players that we'd had all year, and we'd kind of written off. Like even we said, even Varney appeared to be happy that he'd come in.
Because, I don't care if Varney's happy or not.
But then you think, well, maybe it was Warnock's fault that Varney was unhappy, because he was his worst performances for us were playing on the left wing, which he's clearly not a left winger.
I can certainly say it was at least in part Varney's fault that I was unhappy last season. that much is true.
I think he's got a point there, because you think, you know, McCormack playing out wide, White on the right wing, Varney on the left wing, all these square pegs.
Michael
in round...
Brown in central midfield.
Yes, yeah. All these square pegs in round holes, being told to ping the ball forward in a manner that didn't really suit the players that were there.
I think with Varney, it's just the shape of his head. It's almost it's a lost cause. But it sort of tapers to a point. It's like a pear. If you've got a misshapen pear, and I don't know what McDermott can do about that. Maybe set about his face with a hammer over the summer or something, so that could be his. Or make him wear a hat, because it's the pointy bit at the top. It looks like if you could put
a white pointy hood on him.
You could put a propeller on the point of Varney's head, and he'd probably be even better in the air. He could helicopter.
As we said yesterday, the Harlem Globetrotters thing is over now. We're not doing that anymore.
We're
keeping it on the ground.
Even the Harlem Globetrotters never had a helicopter powered forward. What do they call them in netball? Is it points people? I don't know. Whatever they did. I've given up on Luke Varney, but he's willing to do his best with the rest of them.
He could make a good replacement Inspector Gadget.
Yes, he could.
He's into his last 12 months of his contract as well, so
Varney,
he might be off. Yeah, he only signed a 2-year deal, didn't he?
Probably all we could afford for the new Snodgrass. There were signs of enjoyment on the pitch and in the stands, and that was something new in the last 5 games. So we can look forward to more of that. And he got Reading promoted.
In the last 5 games, we beat a few teams, and we should possibly have beaten Brighton, or certainly at least got a draw if it wasn't for the Cockgate situation.
And we never beat Birmingham, so that was a write-off from the start.
Yeah, but you know, beating Watford, Sheffield Wednesday, Yorkshire Derby, we don't win them. Burnley at home, fair enough. You would have expected him to win that, but I wouldn't.
It helped that Charlie Austin didn't play. That was certainly a factor.
Yeah, but you look at the rest of those fixtures, and against... Put it this way, had Warnock stayed in charge, I think there's a very real chance we would have gone down.
Yeah.
Looking at the way the league finished, because I don't think we would have beaten, certainly wouldn't have beaten Sheffield Wednesday and Burnley.
No. And the Burnley game was really, really good, a really, really good performance, and to the point where me and Oddie actually watched some of the second half.
Yeah.
We weren't completely demoralised by the first 45 minutes and did actually, without mumbling or groaning or moaning, think, have a little bit more of this.
All right then, players-wise, team-wise, recruitment-wise, what do we need?
Better ones.
In order to be better than we are.
Better players.
Better players,
in
quicker
what
players.
Areas of the pitch?
Wing,
most
wide areas.
Yes.
I think we badly need width and pace, and that doesn't include Eddie White on the right wing.
Eddie White on the left wing, is that allowable?
No, he's a left back.
But
he's better on the left wing than the right wing.
Are we stockpiling left backs until we finally get a decent one?
Well, that's why Ian Hart's not coming. McDermott said he's happy to work with all the left-backs of the club, and the Evening Post reports said we've got Stephen Warnock, although he did play Adam Drury towards the end of the season, and AD White is an option, if he has to.
Ideally, we need a player like Gradle, a player like Snodgrass, and a player like Becchio.
You could tuck Housen in the hole as well.
Yeah. If we could rewind a couple of years, we've actually got an all right team.
You think we can raise the £4 million for Bradley Johnson that Swansea are offering?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We don't want to look at players we've had before. We just need to look for the next version of players. Yes. Like when people are saying, oh, you might get Lafondre, he keeps being linked, but we can't afford him. And at the moment, having had a year in the Premiership and done quite well, he'll be wanting £20,000 a week or something. What we should be looking for is Lafondre 2.0, who's scored some goals for Rotherham and is available for £200,000 and wants £7,000 a week.
Yeah. And is this where McDermott's background in scouting comes into it? I think people are putting a lot into that, aren't they? There's a lot of stock being placed in that, that he knows the system, as it were, and he's got a really good eye for a player.
Yes.
Good.
Well, that's that sorted then.
I mean, Warnock used to do quite a lot of scouting, but he'd mainly done it during training sessions at previous clubs.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be the entire list of players he went off.
Yeah.
It was, I've got my 2006-07 training notes here.
You get the feeling, yeah, you get the feeling with McDermott that watching another team play football is not going to be like an interruption to his day. It's not like, it's not going to be a trial for him. It's like, oh, we've got a DVD of this amazing new talent, but you're going to have to watch a Austrian Division 3 match. Oh, God, oh my. Can't watch it? Because I've got to, me and the kids, I was promised Sharon.
They've got to go out patrolling the grass verges of Britain's yes, highways to make sure.
Daffodils are getting stolen out there.
There are no flowers being lifted by ladies.
Whereas McDermott don't care about no flowers. He's all about the...
He's a man's man.
He's sit there watching DVDs of football, drinking Carling until he passes out, and then he remembers.
We've not mentioned him playing guitar.
Oh, no, we haven't mentioned him playing guitar, have we?
He was playing guitar, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and singing.
And singing. Not bad, actually.
Yeah, it was perfectly reasonable. I don't know under what circumstances, because we was playing Knocking on Heaven's Door, wasn't he? I don't know under what circumstances that was the entertainment that night down the social club, but...
Was he singing to Ken?
Ken will have nothing less than the four tenors, we know that. But yeah, if he wants to, if he's willing to get up and do a little bit of a sing song. The only thing with that is I noticed that he stopped. The song didn't end with like a big ending. Whoever was comparing the night tried to put one of those comedy Guinness hats on his head, and he kind of went, "Don't put a hat on me." And then the song was almost finished anyway. And he's kind of like, "Well, that's the end of the song." And it was all, instead of being like, "Wow, that was amazing, Brian McDermott," it was all like, "Well, I don't know why I tried to put that heart on him. I think he might have upset Brian. We better, is anyone going to say anything? Are you a bit funny about hats?" Well, I mean, Simon Grayson used to wear a magic hat, and that was absolutely fine with everybody. But maybe his bald head is the, if the Guinness hat had gone on, he'd no longer be able to contact Moonbase Alpha.
Back on planet Earth, looking at the other options, we dodged a bullet with Mark Hughes, didn't we, anyway?
Are we already looking to sack McDermott?
No.
Who else is available?
The people who we could have got. There was a certain sense of being underwhelmed when McDermott was first appointed, wasn't there? I think, if we're being entirely honest. However, people, as soon as they heard him and heard what he had to say and his plans, you think, this man, it could be a good fit for our club. But some of the other names that were being bandied around, as I mentioned, Mark Hughes, no thanks.
I think everyone had the Gus Poyet knickers on, didn't they?
DiCanio.
DiCanio would have made it very difficult for those of us who don't particularly like fascists. Mark Hughes would have made it even more difficult for those of us who don't particularly like scumbags.
I don't know what it says about me, but I think I'd have rather had DiCanio than Hughes.
Yeah, I know. I'm exactly the same.
Which is a bit awkward, really.
If DiCanio rolls up...
It says a lot about your value system, yeah. Doesn't it?
DiCanio rolls up, you've got a decision to make. Mark Hughes rolls up, there's no decision.
Fascists can change. Hughes can't. He is what he is.
And Gus Poyet sounded great, but I think the way it all ended at Brighton with the Poogate emails and everything, I think people have kind of gone, oh, actually, he's a bit weird. And then it's is it Vicente who called him like the worst, most arrogant man he's ever encountered in football, which I'd always assumed Dennis Wise would have been a shoo-in for that role. So the two of them together must have been explosive.
Could have got Adkins as well, with his management consultant speak.
There were a lot of people who were disappointed that we didn't get him.
I was a bit at the time, because he seemed like, on paper, he did seem a very good candidate. And he probably would have done an all right job. However, his interviews are just a bit...
Yeah. You've got to compare McDermott, gets the guitar out, sings a bit of Knocking on Heaven's Door, has a good laugh, everyone's having a drink. Adkins...
PowerPoint.
Reciting poetry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not so much that he recited poetry, it's his smug scouse face.
And then it was a shit poem as well. He's obviously recited it into the mirror. And it's the way he was maintaining eye contact as well. And the way it was all just a question about whether he had any doubts. And he's like, no, I have no doubts. I mean, everybody has doubts. Every normal human has doubts, right? Right?
Never.
But he's like, yeah. And yeah, he ended, he's like, I'm sleeping fine. Actually, yeah.
So of greater importance, perhaps, than anything else is the financial situation at the club, and do we find ourselves in the midst of another takeover? It's hard to know exactly what's going on with such silence, isn't it? The general state of play with GFH Capital.
So takeover, but they're doing it a percentage at a time.
Yes, they've taken all the assets of Leeds United and Leeds United Holdings or whatever it's all called now, and taken it to the bank, and they've had it all changed into pennies. And now they're just driving around the Middle East, just distributing the pennies to anybody they meet who looks like they want a penny. But do you want a penny? Like, yeah, I'll have a penny. He's like, well, actually, why don't you have 330,000
You're attempting to get into this. That
whatever 3.33% in pennies is.
Salah Nuruddin has his...
It does seem a bit like maybe going down the route of, you know, when people own a greyhound between about 100 yeah. people and they all put £8 in.
Yeah. And when it wins, the email will go around and it'll say, it won. We're rich. We'll divide it up and we'll let you know how much you got. And then you've each got like £2.
You've got your penny back.
Yes.
GFH are still here with 86.67% of Leeds United Football Club.
Just enough that.
Yeah, they're gradually getting rid.
IIB, International Investment Bank, own 10%, and Salah Nuruddin, who we just mentioned then, owns 3.33%.
Oh, our esteemed vice chairman.
He is now the vice chairman. Now, this is interesting, what's happened this last week, that the story has dripped out of Leeds United that there's perhaps been an act of nepotism. The son of a business associate, he's insisted on having him on trial at Thorpe Arch, and not only that, apparently insisted on him being given a deal, which has been rejected.
Didn't Susanna do this? Didn't she used to grab...
Maltese boys.
Yeah. Who'd been cleaning the pool or whatever.
And do you remember...
So he looks good in shorts.
It was Ray. There's some weird stuff like that going on over the years. Do you remember the tie-up with that Argentinian club?
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to get lots of like Argentinian boys coming over and never saw a single one. Unless, I mean, I hope they didn't all get to the airport and then are now... living in back rooms in there.
I believe that was demystified, and apparently it was just some business associate or Monaco associate of Ken Bates who happened to be in the same casino or something like that, who was in some way involved in a South American club, and that's where it all came from.
But wasn't it announced on our official website?
Yes.
There were even the names of a couple of players were put around who were meant to be coming and then never showed up.
Or showed up and then quietly left.
I mean, I'm sure it's not unusual that in the non-playing world of football, that executives kind of go, oh, his lad's he hasn't got much to do this summer. Are we going to get him a job washing cars? Or tell you what, doesn't Salah only got something to do with the football club?
Look at Darren Ferguson at Scum.
Yes, exactly.
Was in their youth team for far beyond when he should have been, you would think.
But I think once the kid has been given his trial and he gets to play at being at a football club for a couple of weeks, and then it finds out that actually he's not any good, that's the point at which, no matter how rich his daddy might be or how many favours our vice chairman might owe his daddy, he has to just go home at that point and stop mithering Richard Naylor.
Well, you say no matter how rich he is, if he gives us like £100 million for players, his son can basically do what he fucking wants.
Well, that's the...
Getting into the Gaddafi Perugia situation.
He can have a statue if he wants.
Well, that's one of the genuine concerns I have with this and with GFHC's tactic of selling off little bits, what they call attracting investment. But it does feel more like having a greyhound or a racehorse and just selling off little bits of it. I mean, this guy's come in and become vice chairman at 3.33%. So, and it is like, that's like, we're talking 300 grand. Aren't we? For if it was 2.5 million for 10%, is it 600 grand then? It's not a lot of money to become vice.
Just to clear this up for the listener, IIB.
Because I can't do maths.
IIB put in 2.5 million for their 10%, which values the business at 25 million.
Right. So what's 1%? 250,000.
Yes.
So he's paid like 750,000 and a bit.
Let's call it 800 grand.
Right, to become vice chairman. And all that we know about him that he's done is he's then tried to get his mate's kid a deal. And that's it. And now apparently the word is he's not going to be... He was in line to become chairman, but he's not anymore because they've had a falling out. And it is a bit of a worry because they're going around saying, do you want to invest in this football club? And the going rate seems to be 800k will get your vice chairmanship, and then just bring some boys to the academy and basically do even what you want. We don't know. They don't know. The guy doesn't seem to know anything. We don't know if he knows anything about
that,
football.
That's the problem, isn't it? Is that even if this does go on, it's a bit unseemly, and it does imply a naivety about the football business that is worrying.
It implies fucking stupidity. What it implies. Never mind naivety is being polite. And if 3.3% is the kind of chunk that's being sent. How many threes are in 100? There's three and a bit in 10,
33.
Isn't there?
About 33.
Right, so we're going to end up with 33 of these fuckers, all with their 33 mates' sons. And
that's just three football teams, you know, Phil.
Well, yeah, exactly. The woman said, I've got to, it'll be like a clamour of voices saying, I've got a good idea. I've redesigned the badge. I think the badge would look better if we put like some, pigeons on it. We can't have a pigeon. Pigeons offend me and I don't want it. Well, who are you? He said, I just bought 3% off that guy. Well, that means you've only got you've got 3% of his stake. Well, he told me it was worth this much. Well, who did you buy that off? Well, I don't know. I've not met him before. I met him at a casino. He had a white beard and a little man with glasses next to him. And then it just ends up with everybody just reselling it. And you've got to end, they're just going to grow.
It's like some bizarre pyramid recruitment scheme or something.
Well, you said pyramid scheme, not me.
If you do read up on GFH, Ponzi. It's a Ponzi. It's not a pyramid. It's a subtly different model.
I mean, it's one way of filling up the East Stand is just to fill it with people who think they own a bit of the club and get to just like, what about a gold kit?
Has the 3.3%, has that money that's been invested been used to repay the guy who put in 2.5 million?
And now wants his money back.
Yeah. Let's just draw a line under that for a second and just ask, do you have faith in GFH to A, see the job out if they are sticking around, or B, deliver us into better hands?
I don't, in either case.
Deliver us into many hands. Yeah. What they seem to be doing.
The problem,
many hands make light work.
The problem is, nobody...
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Too many cooks are going to ruin this soup, and nobody really has ever got to the bottom yet of who GFH Capital are, because as we've seen with the case of Salem Patel...
Can I just say how much I enjoy you calling him Salem when it's Salim?
I don't know what these people are called. I mean...
David Haig.
David Sommer. Mike Groller. It's always been a difficulty for me. It's like Carousel Carousel. There's some things I have a blank spot about. Anyway, we don't even have to remember his name anymore because he's gone, apparently. So the people that we thought were GFH, one of them's disappeared. One of them said three words at the McDermott press conference and then switched off like a malfunctioning robot. Hisham Al Reyes, is that all right?
Fine by me, yeah.
He's just never been bothered since day one, and everyone's assumed. It's strange how the assumptions have kind of shifted with these characters, because they're not GFH, they're representatives. They are like Butlin's redcoats on GFH's behalf. And I was like, well, this David Hayes seems a bit of a thick, posh boy, but that Salem Patel, brains behind the operation. Now he's disappeared. It's like, well,
he's been disappeared.
you never hear much from that Al Reyes guy. I bet he keeps quiet because he's smart. But he's never said anything about Leeds United. So it is actually just the Cornish guy from Manchester via Beeston who feels he still has to go in the papers and say, hey, oop, I were born int old Beck.
Beestown.
born in Beeston, in Tin Bath, and loved watching Gordon McQueen. And
it's a bit like the old Tony Blair thing where he said he remembered as a kid being stood on the Gallowgate end and all this, and then watching Jackie Milburn, and then it turned out the dates didn't add up. And you thought, oh, right, you just made that up.
Exactly. And it's inconsequential, really, where David Haig was born, how his name is pronounced.
Salford, as it turns out.
Salford, as it turns out, but who cares? You know, some lovely people come from Salford. Most of them have been in the Fall over the years, but apart from that, there aren't many. Has David Haig ever been in the Fall? That would be some dirt. We found out that he was once a guitarist. The fact that he feels the need to engage PR companies to get him these stories in newspapers, presenting himself as a, you know, with these Carlton Palmer posters on the wall and his collection of old programs, It's just, it's not less, but he's gonna be the owl fancying Tory boy that we're left with, who knows nothing about football and seems to be just overseeing a gradual sell off of our club to a bunch of self interested people who also know nothing about football but think it's going to be a quick, easy profit, which it is not. Because they keep calling it investment. IB put in £2.5 million investment, and I'm not seeing anything that investment has been spent on apart from
it's been just plugging gaps, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Paying the wages.
That's not the kind of investment I think we wanted from.
Which are £1.5 million a month.
Well, the thing is, we have nothing less to sell. Which is what Ken's been doing for the past 5 years.
Apart from bits of an imaginary football club.
And Sam Byram.
And yes. Trials.
David Haig does strike me as a bit of an apprentice character. Yeah. He's just trying his best.
And every now and then, Mr. Main Man at GFH, Jahani's going to come down and go, "You're fired." That's where Salem's gone, isn't it?
Listen, quick word on Steve Parkin then, because we need to move on from this topic. We know there's a bid on the table. It's all gone far too quiet for comfort, but there are one or two rumblings that maybe it's not over, but we just don't know, do we? But would you like to see Steve Parkin in charge?
I'd probably take it over what we've got now, because I think he may do a good job, he may do a bad job. I think he's probably going to do more of an actual job.
Like the club at heart, rather himself.
Yeah, I think it would be about running a football club rather than trying to sell off.
Ridsdale Claxton.
I'd love to be owned by a man as well. Someone said, who owns Leeds United?
Steve Parkin.
Steve Parkin. Whereas, they're owned by them, who are a subsidiary of them, who are based in the Bahamas, who are based in the Cayman Islands, who are based in Dubai, who are based in, and you think, why can't we just be owned by a man?
But I think the problem with I think that he's going to come up with any bid, and that I wonder if it's put the skates on the Parkin bid, because it went quiet around the same time as it was formally announced that Ken Bates's presidency is going to be 3 years. Because up until that point, nobody was sure. They kept saying, because it was announced as lifetime first, and then people said, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be lifetime president. And then it is. He's going to be president for 3 years. And I think
that smacks of a renegotiation, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but it also smacks of anybody who wanted to buy the club, especially somebody who has perhaps tried to buy it off of Ken Bates during Ken Bates's ownership, or fake non-ownership, or whatever it was for most of the time, then goes, all right, he's going to be president for three. I'll see you in 3 years then.
At 82, three-year presidency, life presidency, splitting hairs, really.
Well, even so, there's obviously some kind of signed piece of paper. They can't say Bates is not involved anymore because there is a contractual reason why he is president of the football club for the next 3 years, or president of the board, or the holding company, or whatever it is he's president of. He's involved for the next 3 years. And given that he was a reason why a lot of people didn't want to bid over the last 8 years and just didn't want to get into it, I think he's still going to be a reason. Those people just go, well, you guys, David Hay, you're nice. You're really nice. You're lovely. I really enjoyed talking to you. But can I speak to whoever it is in charge, please?
Well, one thing that we can say that...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They've done that's right is lower the season ticket prices, and they've also introduced tiered membership. So membership hasn't become cheaper per se, but there are cheaper options.
Yes, that nobody wants.
Well, they're useful if you want to buy maybe a couple of home game tickets with priority or whatever. You know, the at least there is an option for you if you don't want to go the full mashings and you just want to buy home tickets or feel a part of the club even, because some people do. You know, it's easier to shell out 20 quid than 40, isn't it?
They seem a nice option for people who maybe live locally and will buy family tickets for 4 games a year or something, which is the kind of casual fan we've not been at all interested in over the past few years.
It's difficult because it doesn't seem like casual fandom that to me. I'm going to take the family to 4 games in the next 12 months. I've worked that out. It is 0.6 games per month. And it fits entirely with our budget, and therefore, oh, the bronze membership is ideal. the ideal for casualness is to be able to just rock up at the ground at 5 to 3 and pay a reasonable amount of money to
on
get in.
On a turnstile, to stand on a turnstile.
Right? Yes. Yeah, exactly. Next to David Tay's with a photo of his granddad. I don't imagine his granddad's still living.
It's actually worth pointing out with the memberships that if you take the benefits in kind that you get from it, it all works out to be roughly the same price.
Yeah, but you have to have one of the horrible shirts, though.
That's true.
I'm not sure.
We'll get onto that.
I'm not sure they're worth.
Well, first of all, season ticket prices, let's say.
Better.
Much better. Still, maybe not perfect, but in this new era of financial fair play and so on, was it as good as we could have hoped for? Mm.
Yeah. It was a reduction.
Novel.
Was needed.
Very novel.
And just sensible things as well, like concessions all around the ground. So you can get pensioner tickets wherever. And it was just, the way it was structured before was just stupid.
It was unnecessarily restrictive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were very limited on where Oddie could sit last year with his pensioner ticket, whereas he's...
Now he's in the West Stand with his blanket. Yeah.
He can go anywhere now.
I can't believe we managed to get through a whole podcast yesterday without once abusing you for your age.
It's because he's been bathing in coconut milk all in the months since the last one. He's looking incredibly fresh.
Smells like a bounty.
But yeah, West Stand, people that want to go in the West Stand, the pensioners now can do and take younger kids in as well.
Yeah.
When Bates brought in all those stupid concession rules as well, it messed up the makeup of the ground because you got people in the cop because it was cheaper and they wouldn't pay a price. But then you got people in the cop who wanted to sit and not sing and people are swearing in it. Just unhappy at where they were because they actually wanted to be in the East Stand where they'd been forever, but they were getting booted out because of...
Because it was £700. Yeah.
One thing you could still say about Leeds United is the cash flow didn't seem that great. So they obviously are a little bit, their hands are still tied by the way the club's been run for so long, in that if they just dropped all the season ticket prices, the membership prices to what we'd all love them to be, there probably wouldn't be enough money coming in to keep the club going. So it's difficult. So I'm sure whoever had the calculator that on that morning when they finally worked it out, has done
a big chunk of that
job.
Season ticket money is going to being siphoned off somewhere else.
Ticketers to LLP. Mm. They're getting 3.3 million out of the gate receipts here, aren't they? And another 3 million from last year, which is obviously gone already.
Have you possibly stumbled upon one of the reasons Salim has been pushed to one side?
What, because I know this information?
Having freely given that information out by accident.
Possibly so. But yeah, anyway, 3.3 million going to Ticketus, which doesn't leave a great deal in the pot, does it?
And they've got the same problem with the food concessions, in that that's a contract, so it doesn't matter whether they sell one pie or a million pies.
Is it Compass pay a certain amount per year for the rights to do the catering, and then they do a 40% profit share towards Leeds United?
I didn't know there was a profit share, so let's...
I believe there is. I can't say with certainty, but I'd have to look into it further.
They're not getting the full value out of things like that, and it's not their fault, it's because of the way things were. Same with the shirt sponsorships and things like that. All that money was up front.
Luckily, though, it's all going to be covered off by the increased corporate revenue we've got from the East Stand boxes. I would guess, anyway.
Because they're going to have 100 owners in each one.
Yeah, I would think that'll all be covered by them.
We're all right then, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I can't see us not making 20 million quid off that.
So from a thoroughly sensible and well thought out decision, a kit that has its split opinion, or is it just bloody god-awful, that home kit?
It's split good taste.
Personally, I think it's an absolutely disgusting piece of sportswear, but, you know.
It's a Chelsea kit.
Isn't it amazing? Chelsea's away shirt. Isn't it amazing what a difference two stripes can make to a kit?
It's like two skid marks on the bed sheet.
Because the precedent that you can point to is the Asics hoop that was kind of the first. That, and I remember there being a big kind of intake of breath. Yeah, so it was pre-internet, but... It was a minor thing on the shirt.
That emulated the bar scarf, which has been a tradition of ours for years, you know, and it's run through football for years. So you're like, okay, it's a bit of extra detail than we used to, but it makes sense.
And it fitted in with the overall design. It sat very nicely underneath the Thistle Hotels sponsors' logo, and it just, and then the numbers on the back were rested above it. So it kind of, it had been thought out. And also, as far as I'm aware, Asics didn't make any other kit like that. It was unique. They'd actually, they'd said, no, Leeds United, we've got to try and incorporate some, jazz up a white shirt with a bit of yellow and blue. Not a bad solution. What Macron have given us is they've given us, it's a Napoli kit template with different colours. I've seen it compared to a tyre print. It also kind of looks like the players are wearing a particularly wide tie. it clashes completely with that ugly Enterprise Insurance logo, which kind of looks like, it's how I always imagined the Lassiter's logo looked on Neighbours, with that sort of chalk drawn E in a blue square. I can imagine it on the wall of like a really dingy, horrible 80s motel.
It's quite upmarket, is Lassiter's, by the way. I wonder if you're calling it that. Paul Robinson's done some good stuff.
I apologise to Lassiter's, but not to Enterprise.
Not Paul Robinson, ex-Leeds player either.
And then what's kind of made it worse is that they've lied about what it is. Retro vertical stripe. All right, if it's retro, which part of our heritage and our previous kits is this harking back to? What is that supposed to... Oh, yeah, I remember the kit we had that looked like... Hang on a minute. No.
Retro for Napoli, maybe. And then we borrowed it. Yeah.
Retro in the sense that it hasn't been seen for donkey's years for a bloody good reason.
Well, no, I don't think any kits... Well, the only kit that it's comparable to, as Michael said, is that Chelsea away kit from a few years ago, which is pretty much exactly the bloody thing. It's giving me a lisp. It's how bad that bloody shirt is. And it's just... And then to add insult to injury, we've seen some of the training kit today.
Perfect.
Looks absolutely fine. A white shirt.
They've done all right. They've done all right.
A white shirt. I think there's a little bit of yellow trim on the sleeve.
The leisure wear. The leisure wear is fine. I looked at it and I thought, that's surprisingly all right.
Speaking of Asics, if you are lucky enough to ever see one, it'd probably be a fine investment. But they did do a training top around the time of, I can't remember if it was the season of the hoop shirt or the what was actually a retro shirt with the thick ring collar that your boy wore with excellent effect. And it was just a white t-shirt, like a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt, but made by Asics, with badge, Asics logo, Thistle Hotels, and nothing else. Perfect.
Well, I was going to say, actually, the shirt itself, blue collar, plain white, no like detail in the shirt. It was just plain white, bit of blue piping on the shorts with the band as well. That was it.
Yes.
It's all you needed. Understated. Stylish. Anyway, you know the gold that's running through as a theme in the...
Gold,
yeah. That's going to be the colour of the away kit, I suspect.
You suspect or you've been told?
I've been told and I suspect.
You've been told by a suspect.
They described it on the site today as tonal gold. Apparently thought of because it goes well with jeans. What are your thoughts on that? Designing a kit that goes well with jeans?
Well, yeah, I don't really care. Have we finally got rid of the black one this year?
Yes.
Have we seen the back of that now?
Yes.
One thing that's worrying me with what they've shown on some of the training kit is they've inversed the blue and yellow of the blue and white of the LUFC in the middle of the badge. They've not. The rest of it's still the right colours, but that's been turned round. And I believe Faxman raised this with them, said, why have you done this? And they were like, well, it's to fit in better with the overall theme of the shirt scheme's colouring. And it's not a new thing. We've done it already on the black kit, which looked fucking terrible.
We've ruined one kit with this idea already.
Yes. So I don't know why you're moaning now with basically the response. I hate it when they do that. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that badge anyway, but don't start just fucking with the colours.
A badge is a badge. That's what it is. It stands as it is. The colours of it do not change. As far as I stand, you just, whatever coloured shirt, there's just no need for it to change.
And certainly not Dayglo.
So that was a retro one, because you remember in Don Revie's first season when we all played in fluorescent polyester. You remember, don't you?
Yeah, with the glow sticks.
Yeah, Bobby Collins. He had adamant face paint on.
Coming up.
All right, then, final part of this mammoth double thickness podcast. And let's try and inject some joy and energy into this final part. Pre-season, that's always a time for excitement and great optimism.
I can't wait. I'm not going.
We are visiting, we're taking the long trip to Farsley.
It's not long for you. You live in Bradford. And I know Farsley's technically not in Bradford, but if you're listening in Farsley, I don't like Farsley. Since they tried that FC Leeds business, do you want me to rant about them now, or should we wait until we've done all the...
So we're playing Farsley away.
FC Leeds, indeed.
Saturday the 6th of July. And then we've got three games in Slovenia, which should be a good adventure. Two of them against TBC. They're going to be tired at the end of that, aren't they?
It's a good job it's not TRC. Man down.
No, I don't know who we're playing yet. But anyway, if you're off to Slovenia, that would be a good trip. A beery trip, I would imagine.
I picked a poor summer to have children. I'd love to have gone on that trip.
I like the fact that we don't know who we're playing before we're going. And I really hope that we come back not knowing who we played. It's like we know there was FC...
That's a proper way to spin it.
It was FC Domžale in the middle. We know that because we were at their ground. But we went to some other ground. I don't know who they were. It's big, like, lads though, big lads.
That's what you're doing summer holidays, isn't it? Go to the park with a ball, get a game going.
Yeah.
I think that's essentially the plan.
It'd be great if it was a Leeds... The third one just fell through and it's Leeds versus Leeds reserves.
In Slovenia, yeah.
Yeah, Leeds versus the fans would be pretty
shirts,
amazing.
Horrendous sunburn.
Can you imagine if they actually let the Leeds players play the Leeds fans on the pre-season trip? How many? They'd basically just be trying to break Brownie's legs from start to finish.
I've suggested a similar thing before for when England play San Marino. They should, the England fans who travel away to silly places, put all the names in a hat and you can get drawn out. To play in San Marino. Just a fullback or something.
Yeah, wouldn't be worse.
Exactly. It didn't make any difference, does it?
Put you in net then.
Yeah. Give him a cap.
But having interest, anybody going? I presume not with, obviously, you're having babies. You've got kids.
I can't go. I'm not allowed out of the country.
After the whole Becchio thing.
Good games, though. I would be pleased with that. That's if I was going.
Yeah.
I'd think, better than Ireland. 50p a pint rather than £5. Lovely.
We are going to do Shelbourne, aren't we? We're playing them at Talker Park, but it'll be a Leeds United 11, not...
I fancy that one.
Necessarily first team. Never had a bad experience going to Shelbourne, which I've been a few times. Always a good one. Just being there and getting drunk, really.
You do that at home.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Children put a stop to that.
They drink all your booze before you get to it.
Well, it keeps them quiet, doesn't it? And then we play Walsall on our return from Slovenia at the Banks' Stadium, where I've been. I remember going to the FA Cup game there, was it? Sometime in the 90s?
Well, a bit more recently than that, sadly.
Yeah.
I also went to a corporate team building thing there. It was a very low rent affair.
Yeah.
It was the most cooked vegetable I've ever eaten. You know, you put it in your mouth and it actually just disappears upon contact with your mouth. Yeah, not very good.
What vegetable was it?
It was cauliflower.
Oh. Even worse.
Yeah, just disintegrated.
Well, there you go. Don't get the cauliflower if you go into that pre-season match. That's all we can say.
Walsall was the venue for that woman falling off the hoarding. Made it onto was quite a popular one on YouTube. I believe it went viral, whereas she made a full recovery.
That's when we got X amount of tickets for Behind the Goal, and they said you can pay on the night, and they ended up having the whole of one length of the stand. It was full as well.
You can have half the ground, yeah.
And there was still only like 4,000 in the ground.
Then after that, the Tuesday the 23rd, we play Stevenage at the fantastically named Lamex Stadium.
Robbie Rogers Arena.
Yes, they should rename it in his honour.
Is he going to play one half for Leeds, one half for Stevenage? As a kind of testimonial.
Do you think this is part of the loan deal? Do you think it was Robbie Rogers in a pre-season friendly?
Yeah, probably.
They probably didn't get their full value out of Robbie, although the coffee shops and galleries certainly did. If only you had to develop Instagram photographs, the local chemists would have made a fortune. I guess we owe them one.
Yeah, I've just looked up what Lamex is, and it's not a condom manufacturer. They're a food group. It's one of the world's largest privately owned frozen and chilled food importers and exporters.
Possibly cauliflower.
Well, there could lie the answer. Yeah. There could lie the answer to your problem.
Don't say you never learn anything on this podcast.
I'm going to, if they weren't privately owned, I'd buy shares in them right now. Instead, I'll just have to buy some more in GFH Capital. Yeah.
And then, as we mentioned in the first half of this podcast yesterday, we've got Nuremberg at Elland Road on Saturday, the 27th of July, the customary final home friendly.
Some trialists playing.
You thought about that overnight, didn't you?
First thing I thought when it's been in there. Waiting to come out.
A few people have kind of turned their noses up at this and gone, and it's distinctly unglamorous. But I'm actually looking forward to this. I'd like playing a random sort of German team. Who would even have predicted of all the German teams we could have been playing? It would be Nuremberg.
It's got an Intertoto Cup feel to it.
It has got an Intertoto Cup feel.
Anglo-Italian, you mean?
Well, it's German.
German.
Anglo-German.
And it's got a little bit of...
well, it's nearly got their way. Same difference.
So Nuremberg, will you be attending?
Yeah, maybe.
You might not be, though. You'll be a new parent at this point, won't you?
What day is it?
It's a Saturday.
Saturday the 27th of July.
Oh, Christ, no chance.
That will tie in with the Leeds United Fun Day, no doubt, which will be on the Sunday, which is the usual Phoenix Knights-esque fun park in the car park.
Some scaffolding, poorly cladding, pipe lagging,
spray paint facing.
I remember us having this conversation last year, though, about the Shrewsbury game for the League Cup, where it was the morning of the game when me and Michael decided, you know what?
Nothing better.
Nice day. Sod it. Let's go. And then as we were driving down, we heard that El Hadj Diouf had been given the number 21 shirt. And there was a moment where I think Michael just put the handbrake on the M621. And in our little oasis of calm, we had a little discussion. Said, do you want to do this? So you bought a shirt. El Hadj Diouf. Not into it. Nothing better to do.
But it's more entertaining. Is it? Is it more entertaining than Shrewsbury? I don't know.
Well, they'll have better names.
18,500 turned up to that Shrewsbury game at the start of last season, which is quite a feat when you put into context that only 21,500 was our average attendance by the end of the season.
That just shows the optimism that could be there.
18,500
very, very quickly disappears.
18,500 people with nothing better to do.
Yeah. First game back as well. You're
desperate.
You're desperate, aren't you? You had a summer of doing nothing.
The Ken Bates Villain of the Fortnight.
It's customary as well for us to do the Ken Bates Villain of the Fortnight. Obviously, it's been 3 months since we podcasted, so let's just do a Ken Bates Villain of the Season. Ken, President Ken, obviously needs to take a nomination.
He's not my president, but he does get a nomination for having the cheek and the gall and everything he did over the season, all the Daily Mail stories and just being generally him. Can you hate somebody for being themselves? If it's a particularly unpleasant ex-wife, yes. Or a particularly unpleasant ex-chairman and current president.
So Ken's nomination is for being Ken. Anyone else that we could possibly throw into the mix here? There's a name on the tip of my tongue, Colin.
Well, before we get, I mean, Michael Brown.
Yeah, Michael Brown.
He may be pretty miserable over the course of the season. Tom Lees, obviously. Because everything was his fault.
That's true, yeah.
Given that he was to blame for most of what went wrong last season, I think he needs to be in the running. As you say, there is one obvious candidate who, since we recorded the last podcast yesterday, has got a book out. So that's another thing to... If you want to know why Neil Warnock is getting nominated for Squareball Villain of the Season, listen to what we put out on the podcast yesterday and then just add all the bits from his book about his time at Leeds. And it all kind of hangs together quite well.
For the benefit of anybody who hasn't yet seen these screen grabs that are doing the rounds on Twitter or have made it onto the forums, what's the general thrust of what he said?
Nothing's
my fault. Everything is somebody else's fault.
Yeah. What annoyed me most about it, I mean, he's got his things about Becchio wanting away and McCormack. And it's not just that he kind of, there may be some truth in it. Well, it probably is true that him and McCormack had an argument about him not going to Ipswich or not playing at Ipswich and Diouf not going at all. But the way he writes it is it's such a passive-aggressive Neil Warnock way of doing it, because he talks about the argument and then he says for the Derby game, because when he came off the bench, which must have wound him up even more, he was motivated enough to score. It was his fourth league goal of the season. Four goals, that's all he did. Four goals. And it's just that kind of like, see, maybe if I dropped him more often, he might have scored more than four
and
goals.
And he also took responsibility for getting McCormack a new 3-year deal.
Yes, that was all
money.
So you got him a 3-year deal and then what? He's got four goals. Poor decision.
And then his stuff about Becchio, it seems that Becchio, as people suspected, was saying, look, I'm 29, I'm being offered, people want to treble my wages.
I'm 29.
And this is crap.
Someone going to do that for me?
Well, and so he says it was clear by early December that he wanted to go before the Chelsea game when he scored and kissed the badge. Just getting that little horrible little dig in there. It's like the ranting so far of a horrible, spoilt child.
There's a real lack of self-awareness in it as well. The bit where he's going on about the atmosphere around the whole club. I came in and no one was waving at me. And yeah. It's like, no, Neil, they weren't, were they?
Well, that's it.
Think about it, Neil.
The common factor in this? Did you get the feeling when you walked into a room, people had been laughing until that point?
Suddenly the
music stops.
Were you in the Slaughtered Lamb? American Werewolf?
Yeah, he has a big go at everybody at the academy as well, which he basically says that there was the attitude of the academy towards the first team is them and us. He said it was like a cancer in the club, which is a little strong. If we lost, they'd be waving at us through the windows. It made me think they didn't want us to succeed because the club might then bring in better people to take their jobs.
Neil, that was the other way around. The academy was doing well. The person who was having their job taken by someone better was you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He has hit on... It's quite interesting what it says about Gwyn Williams, who we've all wondered.
This was I support him on this point.
Yeah, we've all wondered what Gwyn Williams does.
So you're a wanker on everything, apart from the bits that we agree with.
Well, he says Gwyn is obviously influential. He's been Ken Bates's eyes and ears since 1991 at Chelsea, but I never did work out just what his role was. Now, we've never been able to work out just what his role is, other than snitch. But surely, if you're manager of the football club, isn't it like part of your remit to say, the snitch?
I do get the feeling that
Williams
is just
role?
He's just untouchable. He's just he just does what he does. But he's been there long enough that.
But this book is called The Gaffer. Harry Redknapp says in the introduction that it's everything you need to know about football management. So if The Gaffer couldn't take on The Snitch, then perhaps I should be reading The Snitch's book. Just saying, you know, 4 goals. It's all he scored. 4. Never mind that. I think he was something like, didn't he get 10 assists and was like one of the top assist makers in the championship? But 4 goals and a big tantrum. And well,
4 goals, and bear in mind he was not played up front for a huge amount of time.
And when he was, it was getting pinged at his head. Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of it came down to, it was the Ipswich game, since we brought it out, when he didn't take Juf to Ipswich because basically he's too old and earns too much money.
He's not even that old. He's a lot younger than Michael Brown, who he takes everywhere.
And, and he also took to Ipswich. Who did? It was that Chris Dawson.
Ickle Chris Dawson, who should have been celebrating with his chums winning the under-18s league.
Yeah, having some fruit shoots. And
yeah, and had to sit on the bench at Ipswich.
Unused, wasn't he? He was unused, yes. Yeah.
The day they won the league and he took him off to Ipswich. Juffy will have to stay back. And apparently, Neil Warnock reckons, was winding Ross McCormack up by saying he's going to spend all day in the bath, presumably surrounded by whores.
Spits easier to wipe away in the bath.
While McCormack had to go all the way down to Ipswich, looking after little Chrissy Dawson.
Anyway, to wrap up the Ken Bates villain of the season.
Let's put Williams in, that his name can go in as well for his continued presence. And
okay.
He may be a villain of the decade. We finally find out what he's been doing.
Coming up on the rails. All right then, so we've got Ken Bates for being Ken Bates. Mm-hmm. Michael Brown for just being like a bad smell, really.
Yeah.
Tom Lees, because obviously everything's his fault. Mm-hmm. Wynn Williams, perhaps outside candidate for just being a snitchy villain. And the man who we've just spoken about for about 10 minutes on the bounce and devoted a great deal of yesterday's podcast to.
It's amazing how we perk up whenever his name is mentioned.
Neil Warnock.
And another bloody thing.
Gents, who would you like to give the Ken Bates Villain of the Season award to? A person who has contributed to our ongoing misery as Leeds United fans. Tom Lees.
A man without eyebrows. That's who I'd like to give it to.
That's what him and Paddy Kenny have in common.
It's got to be Colin, hasn't it? There's no two ways about it. The man who, okay, maybe he's working with his hands tied a bit, but the book sheds
enough
light.
There's no need to love yourself as much as he does, though.
He ruined
in everything
season.
He says, it's always like, yeah, but I mean, I am good. And it would have been a success if it was up to me. Yeah.
No, in promotions I've won.
It's other people who have ruined it for me.
For him. Whereas it's him that's ruined it for us.
Yeah. So congratulations, Colin. Let's give him the slow hand clap I think this deserves.
Fuck that.
At least he won something this year.
That's true. Yeah.
Can't fault their efforts.
He actually does say in the autobiography, can't fault the lads.
Yeah, in another bit, it was on the top of a page, but was unconnected to his time at Leeds. But he starts trying to take credit for Victor Moses being a good player. He's saying, I thought he did really well and it was good to see him finally doing all those things I told him to at Palace. You think, fuck off. What have you ever added to a footballer? Unless you saw him leather a ball at someone's head, then I imagine you didn't teach him it.
He added a 12-month contract for Michael Brown.
Have you got the quote there?
I have got the actual quote. It just begins at the top of the page. One consolation, I don't know, consolation for him, if not for us. One consolation was seeing a little Victor Moses. He parts the defences. Does Moses like? They found him. I found him in a basket actually at outside Sellers Park. Seeing Victor Moses playing so well, playing so well, and working so hard too. All those things I had told him at Crystal Palace had finally sunk in. It's such a pity that England did not make more of an effort to persuade him to play for us, because he's going to be a hell of a player, and it'll all be down to me.
I'm sure he's learnt nothing from being at Chelsea.
I think this might be the most tantalising thing about the book, actually, is that Victor Moses, top of the page, and what must have been on the page before, and it's going to make me buy the whole thing, even though I don't want it, is at the bottom of one page, after he's ranting about how Gwynne didn't come to see me when I left, Neil Redfern didn't come to see me when I left, the only one I saw was Richard Naylor, boo-hoo-hoo, he's the only one who said goodbye, he's a good pro. But he had the courage to come and say goodbye to me, and then two lines at the bottom of the page, beginning the next section. Back in Cornwall, I unpacked the boxes I brought from Leeds, fed the chickens, comma, and then it ends. What did he do next?
Any other business?
And finally then, to wrap up this podcast before we sign off for the remainder of the summer, we will be back, by the way, for the new season, all being well.
Are we going to attempt some regularity?
We will. Let's promise this now. We need to tell you about our fanzine, which will return again for the new season. Another 10 issues next season of joy, happiness, looking more beautiful than it did before.
If ever we do fail at getting the podcast out regularly, just go and buy a magazine back issue. They're only a quid, and it might sort of encourage us to come back in. The magazine might actually keep coming out.
Without fail.
We didn't miss a single deadline.
We very nearly did miss a couple of issues, but enough of that.
Thank you to our printers, yes. We do have to say thank you.
Very understanding.
PPS Grasmere. We'll be back doing the fanzine in August. Look out for it. And keep an eye out for subscriptions as well. They will be on sale on the website. Look at thesquareball.net.
And we're still keeping the blog is going to be firing up into action on the website with some new writing staff.
New and exciting content, indeed.
Yeah, and if you're bored once a week, Fridays, thecitytalking.com/sport. Is me rambling on about how not much has happened for the previous week.
That's the square ball week, isn't it?
It is
our little column,
week.
Your column on the City Talking. Very good. Okay, well, I think that's us done then for now, isn't it, for this season. It's been quite a short season podcast-wise, for which we hugely apologise, but we will be better next year, just like our football team.
And on the plus side, nothing memorable has really happened, has it?
No, exactly. We missed the promotion.
We've not missed talking about much, have we?
Well, it has to be said, I looked at our iTunes reviews in a moment of vanity a little bit earlier on.
I do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and the last review says, much like the team, these lads clearly couldn't be arsed towards the end of the season. 3 stars.
Oh, that's not 3 stars is all right, considering we actually hadn't recorded any.
So yeah, thank you for that.
Well, they know us so well.
Basically, what you've missed out on is how many do you think we missed? 10? Just 10 hours of us slagging off Neil Warnock.
You definitely missed towards the end of the season us talking about beating Millwall, draw at Leicester, draw at Palace, draw at Peterborough, losing to Huddersfield, losing to Ipswich, losing to Derby, losing to Charlton. None of that was going to be fun to listen to.
It's probably bad enough that you had to watch those games, let alone listen to us then relive the horror.
It's better if that whole section...
It's better that we covered it in 2 hours rather than 10.
Yes.
The Warnock end days.
We did you a favour.
We value your time. We didn't want to take up too much of it. We care about our listeners.
Of course we do. The Caring Sharing Podcast. Listen, we've got to sign off. We will be back in August. We look forward to speaking to you then. Bye from me. My name's Dan. Bye from Michael.
Bye-bye.
And Moscow White.
Goodbye.
And Oddie.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy the summer, if that's all possible as a Leeds fan. We look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye-bye. Next year's our next pitch.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.